Scripture reading this morning is in the New Testament book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4, we'll be reading the first seven verses of that chapter. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 4. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, and the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. What wonderful truth for us to think about this morning. Father, help us to think about this in these next few moments and to realize the significance of it. Help us, Lord, to learn of you. Help us, Lord, to hear the things you want us to hear and to disregard anything that you would not want us to hear. And I pray, Lord, that you would teach us today from your word, your truth, that your Holy Spirit would apply it in our lives. So we wait upon you, Lord. Speak, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. What name did you call your father? Father? Dad? Daddy? Papa? Pop? Maybe something else? What did your children, you dads out here, call you? The ones that you can repeat, anyway. Let me ask a question. What name should we call God? Is there a name that we believers should use when addressing God, when talking about God, when referring to him? What do you call God? Well, there was a man in the Old Testament who asked that very question, you remember? The man's name was Moses, and God was speaking to him in Exodus 3 from the burning bush and telling Moses he was to go back to Egypt and plead with the Pharaoh to let the people go. And Moses says to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. I am that I am. What a name. So much in that name. In Hebrew, that is four letters transliterated into English, YHWH. We normally pronounce that as Yahweh. When you read your Old Testament and you see the word Lord and it's all in capital letters, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is the English translation of that word, Yahweh, that name. In the midst of the polytheistic cultures in which Israel lived at the time, it emphasizes the uniqueness of God, that he was not just God with a small g, as there were many, many others, but he was God with a capital G, the one who is I am, the one who is uniquely the only God. And not just any God, but Israel's God, their covenantal God. Thus, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. His name was to be said in that way so as to distinguish him from all of the other gods that were a part of the cultures surrounding them. The name, as you know, became very sacred. The Ten Commandments, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And in fact, the Jews considered it so sacred that they would refuse to say it out loud. And so when they would read the Hebrew scriptures, instead of saying Yahweh, they would say Adonai. And they still do that today. And even many who write the name God in English will write capital G, line D, because it's considered to use it is to profane it. It was a holy, holy name. Is there a counterpart for us as believers, as part of God's family, as part of the Church of Jesus Christ? Is there a counterpart? Is there a name that we could say really in many senses is uniquely ours, our covenantal name, if you will, for God? Yes, there is, I believe. And Jesus is the one who tells us what it is. In Luke 11, 1, we read this. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, Jesus addressed God the same way in his own personal prayers. John 17, 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he poured his heart out before God, how did he refer to him? Father, if this cup can pass from me. When he was on the cross, two of the seven things he said on the cross were directed to God, and they both said, Father. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. In fact, it was the basis of the Jews' opposition to Jesus that he called God Father. We read in John 5, 18, that was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. He was even calling God his own Father. So is there a Christian name for God? It would seem for Jesus, it was Father. And if it's good enough for him, should be good enough for us. We talk about imitating Christ, being like Christ. Father would seem to be the appropriate name to call our God. Father is, I believe, the Christian name for God. Now, what's implied in that name? Oh, what a subject. We could go on for hours on this. I won't, but I could. Of course, I could go on for hours on just about any subject, some people will tell you, but I'll limit myself. The four implications of that name, to use that name for God, Father, four things that are implied. And I have to confess that I didn't come up with these four. They're from a wonderful book by the great J.I. Packer called Knowing God. And he lists these four. And I'm just going to talk a little bit about them from my perspective. The first implication of the name Father is authority. Authority. Calling God Father affirms that he is the one who is in charge. In my home growing up, there was absolutely no question as to who called the shots in our home, who it was that established the rules, laid down the principles that would govern things, created our family's culture, if you will, made the decisions. And I can tell you, it was not us kids. Did we always like it? No. Did we chafe under it sometimes? Yes. But did we find security in that? Absolutely. Absolutely. See, Dad took care of the big things. We didn't have to worry about them. We didn't even know that there were big things to worry about in life. Mom and Dad established the authority in our house. And it was an authority exercised for our benefit, even if we didn't always appreciate or understand it. As our Heavenly Father, God is the one who establishes the rules. God is the one who establishes the principles of behavior, the philosophy of life. One of the most important lessons anybody can learn in this life is simply this. And I don't know who first coined this phrase, but it's brilliant. There is only one God, and you're not him. Authority. When we address him as Father, we're affirming that his is the right to command, to establish the principles. We're also implying that we are to live under his authority. We are to accept his commands and his principles, and that we are to obey and live by them. Authority. Our Heavenly Father is the authoritative one. We are the obedient ones. We dare never reverse that. And you say, I never would. Well, maybe not in so many words. But when we rebel against our Father's authority and prefer our own decisions as better, what are we doing? God is our Father. He is the authority. We are his children. Ours, as it says in the Bible over and over, is to obey our Father. Simple as that. Second implication of the word father is affection. Calling God Father affirms that he loves you. He loves me. My dad was not a physically or verbally expressive man. Maybe it was part of his generation. I don't know. But he wasn't the kind who would constantly tell me he loved me. And he wasn't the kind that would hug me. Yet I never for one second ever doubted that he loved me. Never for once. Because it showed in his actions. It showed in the way he treated me and treated our family. He cared enough to be available to me and my siblings, to be engaged with us, to be involved in our lives, to be generous in sacrificing of his time and energies and all sorts of things he probably wished he could have done for our benefit. He loved me enough to correct me. And yes, rebuke me, and I needed it. He protected me. He instructed me. He became my example. No, he wasn't showering I love yous verbally, but he demonstrated love in so many other ways. And as our Father, our Heavenly Father, demonstrates his love for us in all those same ways. This is the list I just used for my dad. Available, engaged, involved, generous, sacrificing, correcting, protecting, instructing, being our example. Does not God do all of those things for us children? And yes, God says, I love you, verbally. We can find it all over in the pages of his word. He cares enough, loves us enough to give us his word so that we can know what he wants. He loves us enough to be available to us at any moment, in any situation, if we will just but come to him. And he promises that he'll never leave us or forsake us. That's love. And if that isn't enough, the ultimate expression of his love is that he sent his only begotten Son to die a torturous death on a cross in our place for our benefit. If you ever doubt God's love, look at the cross. Look at the cross. That tells you everything of the Father's love. I remember when I went to the theater to watch the movie The Passion of the Christ a number of years ago. Some of you will remember that, Mel Gibson's film. I didn't want to go because I had heard it was brutal. And it was. Hard to watch. I spent most of the time in that theater in tears, looking at the screen like this. But something else happened. As I was watching the depiction of what Jesus Christ went through for me, I kept repeating over and over to myself in that theater, for me, for me, for me. Don't ever doubt God's love for you. If you ever do, look to the cross and then say to yourself, for me. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. So when we call our God Father, we're affirming his authority. We're rejoicing in the affection. And then the third point is, it emphasizes and implies a relationship. Calling God Father affirms that God has a special relationship with you and I. One author put it this way, God has your picture in his wallet. I like that. You're not just a face in the sea of faces. Oftentimes you hear, well, we're all God's children, and well, that's true on one level. He created everyone. In that sense, we're all his biological children, I suppose. But God is our Father, not only in that he is our creator, but that he is also our redeemer. And those who have been redeemed have a special relationship with him. And that relationship is emphasized by using the word Father. John writes in his gospel, to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. We can call God our Father in this very special, significant sense of relationship. In the passage we read from Galatians, we read, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, as you probably know, was the Hebrew name for what a person would call their earthly father. What Paul is saying here is we can call him Father. We have the right, we have the privilege. It is a truthful statement to be able to say that. You know, my dad was my little league coach, and he cared for all of my teammates. I was the only one that went home with him. I was the only one whose picture was in his wallet. I'm the one that he cared the most about. And why not? Because we had that relationship as a father and a son. Christians have that relationship with God. Jesus proclaimed it so. We are truly his children and all that that implies. And as a result of that, we have the privilege of being able to say to the God, the Lord of the universe, Father. Why? Because we have been designated by God as his children because of what Jesus Christ did for us and our acceptance of the grace that he offers through his death and resurrection. Relationship, pretty special. So when we say Father, we're affirming his authority, we're affirming his affection, we're affirming the fact we're in a special relationship with him, and finally, we're affirming that he is worthy of honor. Calling God Father affirms that he is worthy of our honor. In one sense, it fulfills the commandment that we were given, honor your father and mother. I mean, that's the whole purpose of Father's Day, isn't it? Was to be honoring our fathers. Giving honor to dads. Now, hopefully that's not the only day we do that. But just as our dads deserve honor, so our Heavenly Father, even more so, deserves honor. That's why we're here this morning, in every Sunday morning. It's because our Father deserves honor, glory, praise, worship. By our worship, we honor him. By our testimonies before men, we honor him. By the way we live our lives in obedience to him, we honor him. We honor him with our words, with our time, with our talents, with our treasure, with our conversation. We are to honor him in all things in life. Not just an hour on Sunday morning, although that's a special hour. Honor, Father, authority, affection, relationship, honor. And I need to say this. I am very aware that not everybody has had the ideal father-child relationship. Some of you maybe had human fathers that really didn't display those characteristics that I've highlighted. Some of you may have grown up without fathers at all. To you, I want to say, Psalm 68:5 says that God will be a father to the fatherless. So if this is a tough day for you because of any of those scenarios, I would encourage you to think about your Heavenly Father, who is all of those things and more. And you are his child. And so this can be the day that you truly honor your Heavenly Father. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a Heavenly Father who is a perfect one. So I say again, I believe Father is the appropriate name for God. And I encourage you to use it. And I encourage you to think about it and what it means and what a marvelous privilege it is to be able to call him Father and to know that he calls us his children. When you use it, you'll be affirming his authority, his affection, his relationship, and his honorableness. So I tell you to use it. And I want to close with this. And this will be a little personal. Father's Day is hard for me. And maybe it is for some of you for various reasons. Ever since 2015, it's been hard for me to stand up before a crowd and talk about fathers after my own passed away. My dad was the one person in the world that I wanted to please more than anybody else. And if he said he was proud of me, that meant more to me than it coming from anybody else in this world. And I miss him terribly. But I want to close with this, because every time I hear these words, I kind of tear up. And it's from a song, a lyrics from a song called God Pleaser by the 80s Christian rock group Petra. And maybe if you weren't into Christian rock in the 80s, you probably never heard this song. But every time it came around, I had the, was it a cassette or an 8-track or a record? I forget what it was. And played it and wore it out. Every time I hear this line, it would strike me, and it still does. And it simply says, it may be up on the screen, is it? Okay. I just want my life to glorify his son, to make my father proud that I'm his child before I'm done. No need to pat me on the back or stop to shake my hand. I just want to hear my father say, well done, well done. I just want to hear my father say, well done. My heavenly father, I just want to hear my father say, well done, because I am his child. And he is my father. And I hope that every single one of you can say the very same thing this morning. Father, I call you that intentionally because you are Father. And we are unworthy to call you that, but you've made us worthy because of what you've done. And so on this Father's Day, Lord, especially, we stop to honor you and to thank you for being our Father and to work on the fact that we really want to make you proud so that one day you, our Heavenly Father, can say to us, well done, well done. So go with us, Lord, and may we please you, and may we always give you the glory. Thank you, Father. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen.